this morning is a special Sunday. It's sort of a conclusion to Pastor Gary's faithful preaching on the book of Jonah. Jonah, that guy that ran away from God's calling to share his love, to share the message of repentance. Pastor Gary, thank you for walking us through the book of Jonah. It was helpful for us to sort of break it down into those four little chapters and understand what it takes to be obedient to the call of God to share God's message in this world. Because I think we're all a lot like Jonah. We want to run from that. We want to let somebody else do it. We want to make it somebody else's job. And we don't want to have to confront the truth that there are people all around us in need of a savior. They're sinners and they're trapped in their sin. And like the passage I read earlier from Matthew, God has great compassion on them. He sees that they are sheep without a shepherd. They got no direction in life. They're in chaos. They're in distress. They're not finding their way in this world. And as Jesus tells us, he is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life, right? He's all of that. And if they can't find Jesus because no one tells them, then their ultimate destiny is not good. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we've been given this gift, but the gift is not meant just for us to selfishly keep to ourselves. The gift is to be shared with the world. Sometimes that's easy and it just happens naturally, and other times it's difficult and it causes us to humble ourselves and it causes us to be obedient and to work against our own feelings and our own fears so that the message of God's love can reach the lost. That's what the church is here for. Otherwise, you know what? When you became a Christian, boom, you would have been beamed up into heaven and you'd spend your eternity with God. But he left you here and me here for a particular reason. He didn't just beam us up once we said, yes, I believe in Jesus. I need him as my savior. Amen. Boom, you're suddenly in heaven. Maybe for somebody that was their journey. But for most of us, we're left here because within you and within me is a unique gift that only we can bring to some of the people in our lives because we're unique. We're all different. So this morning, we have a presentation from a few of our missionaries. Now, the great thing about these missionaries is that they're also church members here with us. Like, they're here on Sunday. They're not off far away for very long. They go on trips, and they want to invite you to join them in some of that. But they're here with us. They're brothers and sisters in Christ, just like you and me. They bleed red like we do. All our blood's the same, right? They're the same as we are in many, many ways, except there's been a particular call that they have answered, like Jonah did eventually, to go and to do something very specific for him. And so I want you to hear from them. As you're listening, I want you to reflect on what you're hearing. Don't just be passive. We are way too passive in life, right? Participate in what they're saying and also what you're feeling or hearing. And if you have a question in under each section, so if you open up to the first page there, we're going to hear from Ben first here in a moment. But if you have a question about his ministry that will help you to participate, to help you to pray better, help you to give, help you to be involved personally, if you have a question, I want you to write it down. Write it down in your little booklet. This is like class 101. Write it down. And then when you see him after church, because we're going to have cafe with our four speakers here this morning, I want you to go up to him and look in your book and say, oh yeah, I did have a question, Ben. And here's my question. You know, how do I get involved in those weekly meetings? What do you need from me? What kind of things can I bring to the ministry that will help you? Because we want them to succeed because they are us. We are together in this mission. We are not separate. Thanks, Ben. We are not separate. Too often, because we're Americans, we've individualized everything. So it's like, oh, well, that's what Ben does. You know, and I'm over here doing my thing. And you're over there doing your thing. No. That's not a biblical concept and understanding of who we are in Christ. When you're born again into the Spirit, by the Spirit into Christ Jesus, you join the body of Christ. And together we are doing things for God on this earth. So you're going to hear from four different people, and there's four different pages in here, for you to write a question. And as we have coffee and donuts and whatever else is out there afterwards, you go up and you ask them. Begin the conversation. You may not be able to finish the conversation today because maybe it leads to a greater conversation. That would be awesome. But at least you can make that contact. This is a real person. See, you know, if I pinch him, he says, ouch, you know. He's real, right? We've taken pastors and missionaries and we've sort of exalted them into this special kind of person. He's just like you and me. But he's been obedient to follow God. In this particular area, we're going to hear about missions all over the world, but we're starting right here at home with Ben Johnson. So Ben, here you go. I'll give you back your mic.
Mic drop. Hey, good morning, Olden Chapel. It's a pleasure to be with you guys. I brought my friend Jameson this morning. He's awesome. He's over at Quabbin Regional High School. So I am the area director for Young Life here in Central Mass. So that includes north of Worcester. We serve three different schools. Currently, that's Wachusett, Quabbin, and Fitchburg-Lemster, that school community. We do a lot of partnerships with the Boys and Girls Club there. And our mission, I'm going to try and slow myself down so I don't talk too fast. They said I only get 8 minutes, so I'll go to 10, or exactly to 11. All right. Our mission is to introduce adolescents to Jesus Christ and help them grow in their faith. I feel like we can link arms around that one. I feel like that's that we can do that. Slowly introducing adolescents to Jesus Christ and helping them grow in their faith. That's the vision. That's the goal. That's the mission. That's what Young Life is all about. And so how do we do that? Bunch of different ways. And I'm gonna share a little bit about a story about what these pictures are and everything in just a moment. But I wanted to share a little bit about my favorite story in the Bible. And that's the woman with the blood infirmity or blood disease. And so Jesus is on his way. He's actually, it's kind of like if you imagine Jesus is in an ambulance with a big crew heading over to take care of somebody else. There's a problem somewhere else. They're on their way to heal Jairus' daughter. Or, well, figure out what's going on, because apparently she's sleeping, according to Jesus. But for those of you who know the story, that's funny, but it's okay. You didn't laugh. I appreciate it. Okay, so great. They're on their way, and there's in this big crowd, and then there's this woman who shouldn't be in the crowd. They shouldn't be there. The moment she touches anyone, she makes them unclean. And if she makes them unclean, then they can't go worship the temple. So therefore, she is pulling people away from God by just being present. She is a problem. She's a disease. She's an issue. But she chooses boldly, knowing that she, having faith, needs Jesus. And so she pushes through the crowd. She gets to Jesus, and she just touches the back of his robe. Just for a moment. A small glimpse of Christ. And in that miracle, in that miraculous moment, her life is transformed. She experiences the true King of the universe and his power and his ability and what he can do in the lives of sinners and those who hurt. And it's my favorite story because Jesus doesn't just heal her and go on his way because he's busy. He's going to take care of something. He's on his way. No, he turns and I like to imagine that he knelt down, right? Or maybe sat down and talked with her as she's laying on the ground, realizing that her life had been transformed, that she'd been made new, that this disease that had plagued her forever was gone. And we get to hear a little bit about her life in the story. Scripture is so cool. It gives us just a little bit, but it's everything we need to know to get the context of what was going on in her life. It said that she had gone to all the physicians, all the doctors, all of the places where there were supposed to be answers. And all she found there was want. All she found there was dissatisfaction. All she found, and all the places where people said, go, you'll find healing, you'll find restoration, you'll find what you need here. She found herself still empty, still dissatisfied. And then in one moment with Jesus, her life is transformed. One touch, right? Amen, amen. That's our hope for high school kids, is that we provide spaces and opportunities for them to have one touch with Jesus. A moment that is holy and beautiful and mighty and presented well in a way that they can understand it in a real relationship where we care for them regardless of their response to the gospel. But we say to them, this is Jesus and he's the answer for you. And so I want to tell a story about this guy named Cam. I know the photos are a little small. And they shout out Jess, one of our volunteer leaders. She's standing in the back. Give her a round of applause for Jess. She has chosen to step out and do the work here. That's huge. That's huge. And so over here on the left, we got us. We're at a football game. That's us at the Friday night football game at Wachusett. To my right is Nick and Cam. And Cam is the shorter one in the hockey jersey. And I'd never met Cam until that night. And he just randomly rolls up to us and he's like, hey, I've heard about this Young Life thing. I would love to know more about it. So we chat, talk, hang out for the game. And then I say, hey, Cam, do you want to go to Fall Weekend? And he's like, why not? You know, sure. Yeah. How do I do it? We figure it all out. We get him onto the trip to go to Fall Weekend. We had just had our big outreach event called Pumpkin Palooza, where we had him really hear the gospel for the first time in a long time. And he was on fire right away. He's like, man, this is something special. I need more of this. There's something deeper and better here. And it's not me. It's not the leaders. It's Jesus. It's the truth about who he is. And so, yeah, amen. And so we go to Fall Weekend, and that's just a week ago now. It was actually that picture all the way on the right is us singing during club, jumping around, having a bunch of fun as we tried to do in Young Life. And hopefully succeed. But what we're doing in this moment is we're linked arms in arms. And the night before, they had given him an opportunity after hearing about the truth of Jesus on the cross and that he's the answer for their sin. They give them 15 to 20 minutes to go sit and process. Because for somebody, just like that woman, they just encountered Jesus. Maybe for the first time. Hopefully for the first time. Because then we have the right kids in the room. And that moment is holy and needs time to process. And so he shares with us during what we call cabin time afterwards. I asked permission to share this. And he said, hey, like during that time, that space you gave us to sit out in the dark and just have our own thoughts and think through all this, I asked Jesus to forgive me for all the things that I am and that I've done because I know I need him. And that night, he started a relationship with Jesus. That night. That's a miracle. And what I love to say is that it's worth it for one, but we're shooting for many. It's worth it for one, but we're shooting for many, right? And so there's one, right? And then there's not even another story. There's another story from the same weekend of a girl named Hannah who had just randomly showed up at club after we met her at the same football game. And she came and she experienced Jesus. And now she is the number one talker at our Bible study. We cannot get her to not answer a question. It is awesome. Or ask a question. She is active and ready and excited to be involved with what's going on and to learn about her faith. And so I'm just want to encourage you that when kids have the opportunity to touch a little bit of Jesus, life transformation takes place. It does. And Jesus modeled that. He showed up. He earned the right to be heard by stepping into people's lives, meeting them where they're at, and lives were transformed. So there's all that. What can you do? What can you do? Because right here in the center picture, I forgot to explain this. It's kind of hard to see, but this is the stands of the football game. And littered all throughout the stands are hundreds and hundreds of nips and vapes. And I don't share that to be like, oh, these rotten kids, you know, and their troubled lives. No, they're looking for answers. They're looking for hope. They're looking for something that will make them feel again. They feel numb. They feel lost. They feel anxious. They feel worried. And they think that might be an answer. Well, just a fun Friday night. And then they wake up Saturday morning feeling awful again. And they realize it wasn't it. And they'll try again the next week, and it still wasn't it. And it still wasn't it. But we hold the answer. We hold the free sample of Jesus, that if they would just try, their life can be transformed. So that's what my encouragement to you this morning about what we do in Young Life. We step into the lives of kids and hope that Jesus shows up to transform their lives. I'm not in the transformation business. I'm in the showing up business. And Jesus transforms hearts, right? So my question for you guys this morning is, would you come with one of two things? Either open hands or ready hands. Open hands to say, hey, Ben, I live in Olden. I live in Rutland. I live in Paxton. I live in blah, 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 name of the town. I'd love to host club. I got a basement. I will tear it apart with a bunch of high school kids and we'll tell them about Jesus. And then we'll put it back together, I promise, right? Hey, I do this for a job and a vocation and I'm really good at getting people excited. I'm really good at sales. I'm really good at whatever. Then come help us. We'll use that skill and you'll go make us a ton of money. You'll get a ton of people to come in and raise support, right? Or you could say, like, as you have, like, I have a gift with video. I'd love to film a video for you guys. Like, let's do it. So come with open hands or ready hands. Ready with an idea or open to say, here I am, Ben, use me. Just kidding. But here I am. I would love to be a part of what you're doing because Jesus is going to show up as a result of it. I'm already a minute over. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you listening. Yeah. Jesus is king and good. He's going to do amazing things. Thank you.
Good job.
Stay right here.
Stay.
Yep.
Oh, arm and arm. Here we go.
God, thank you for Ben. Thank you for Young Life. Thank you for the new lives that have been born again because of your Spirit being at work through this ministry. And Lord, we want to understand what you want us to do here this morning, to join and encourage and to have those open hands or ready hands, Lord. So work in us as a body. Help us to come alongside and to bring more and more people, many, many more, to Jesus Christ in these coming years. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. All right. So, Annette, oh gosh, she's been coming to church almost like Ben her whole life. You know, she's been coming to church for a very long time. And she is excited about missions in Malawi. And so she talked maybe 2 years ago now about Malawi, because some people say, well, where is that, right? So that's in Africa. It's one of the countries in Africa. And she goes on a regular basis with a team, and they share the gospel. And so she also wants us to understand a little more about that, but also understand how we can help, how we can join. So, Annette, share with us.
Amen, amen, amen. The gospel is just the only thing that we need. That is all we need. We don't need anything else. So I'm very happy and I thank God for the opportunity given to me to talk about Jesus this morning, talk about missions. So in Malawi is, I'm not from Malawi, by the way, so just so you know, I'm from Cameroon. I was born and raised in Cameroon, and I also went to school. My undergraduate education and part of my graduate education was done in Nigeria. So I am not from Malawi. So I never knew Malawi until the Lord started prompting my spirit to go to Malawi. So the first trip when I went to Malawi, I was just like, whatever. And I just went. And to be honest with you, I love it. So what do I do in Malawi? Malawi is a ripe ground for the gospel. You will see pastors in Malawi that will come out to preach the gospel. In fact, I don't know why I forgot to take this picture last year when I went to Malawi. Because there was a pastor, his Bible was so broken, so torn that you won't even want to, like, the thing that you put in a trash, I know it's a Bible, but you will not even want to have it at home. But when I look at it, I have like, I'm not sure how many, but I probably have countless Bibles in my house. So this pastor, some of them don't even have those Bibles, but they are pastors. So I used to ask one common question. So how do you preach on Sunday morning? I said, sometimes we read somebody's Bible and then go now with the notes to go preach on Sunday morning. Sometimes even there is no even light to even read that Bible. Even if you have access to that Bible, there is no light to even read it. So in Malawi, the field is ripe. It's very ripe. But the laborers are few. The resources are few in Malawi. So when I go to Malawi, sometimes I sit in the meetings I have, like maybe even 200 pastors, and I'm looking at thinking that these are just ordinary people, but most of them will come, they are pastors. The youths, the pastors and the youths in Malawi, they need the word. So most pastors they are not really exposed to the word because they don't even have the resources of the word. They don't have the access to the word. So they are not able to really dive in the word. And so it becomes a problem because they are now presenting half-baked gospel to the church. And so when I go there, it is to strengthen the church. Strengthen the church, irrespective of whether they are pastors or just people that sit in the church and attend services. The Malawi people, most of them, they are not good at English. So they don't speak English. English is not their first language. Kwacha is their language. So I don't even know the language. So when I am there, somebody has to translate what I'm saying. And 90% of them will not speak because I don't go to the city. Because when you go to the city, you see things in the city, of course. So I go to the interior regions. So in these interior regions, you will find very desperate needs, whether it be men and women, no Bibles. You find children, they are in school, nothing. There's just a lot of needs. They need Jesus. Jesus is really, they know a form of Jesus. But they need that encouragement. They need that pure word. They need that teaching of the real gospel. So that is what I do in Malawi. And I'm always surprised when I see there was actually this last time when I went to Malawi in April, I was shocked when I said, okay, we have heard the gospel. Who wants to give their life to Christ? Almost the whole place came out. I said, no. I'm not asking this. We are not praying for the sick. I am asking who wants to give their life to Jesus for the first time. They say, yes, we want to give. I say, you mean all of you seated here had not given your life to Christ before? I was so surprised. I was really surprised, to be honest with you, that a whole crowd came out to give their life to Christ. And the one thing that is there that is so horrible is the fact that they will give their life to Christ, but they don't have access to a Bible. A Bible, they don't have access to a Bible, even if they give their life to Christ. So what can the church do? Pray for them. We can pray for them. Or you can come with me to Malawi. You can come with me to Malawi. It can be a rough ride, but come on now. You are very comfortable in your air conditioner place and, you know, you're like, wake up in the morning, you just go and turn the light on, you wake up, you go to the bathroom. Oh, no. No, you have to be ready for the ride. But there are other ways that we can do it. Malawi is a ripe ground. Like Pastor Tom was saying, pray to the God of the harvest to harvest souls in Malawi, to strengthen the church in Malawi, that the Holy Spirit will have his way in Malawi. That even the, you know, sometimes you go, you see the widows, the orphans. Oh God, you're like, God, why? But the church, we have the answers to the wall. The church is the hospital ground. We have doctors in the church. We have nurses. We have aides in the church. The church of God is a hospital ground. And if we do not perform our duties, who else is going to perform those duties? So please, you are welcome to come with me to Malawi. You are welcome to pray. There are so many things that you can do for Malawi. But I'm going to stop here. Thank you so much and God bless you.
Thank you, Annette. Thank you. Father, we thank you for leading our sister to Malawi. and for giving her a passion to bring the word of God and the truth of the gospel to a people who are hungry for it. And Lord, we pray that you would show us how we can come alongside, how we can join her, how we can encourage the work that your Holy Spirit is doing in the country of Malawi. Bless her now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So one of our local missionaries is right now in Liberia. So he actually put together a video which we showed maybe 6 weeks ago or so. And we're just going to watch that because it's from Dr. Rick. You can see on your next page, you can see a little picture of him down there in the corner. He usually sits around here in the middle. Debbie is his wife. Raise your hand. Yeah. With his wife when he's here. Sometimes he plays on our worship team. And he is now one of our new elders in the church. And so he's very involved in the church here. But he's also still very involved in Liberia, another country in Africa. And they've been there for many, many years. And he started a clinic recently up in the north of the country. And he invited us to maybe pray about going and helping that mission. So I want you to hear it again. Let's see if the video will go here this morning. And let's hear from Dr. Rick.
I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." In the book of Revelation, God has given us a vision of people from every tribe and nation singing to him in thousands of languages, praising and worshiping, traveling to serve in a nation far away. Can help you see the reality of God's multifaceted, multicultural kingdom in a new way. Liberia, West Africa. A country with friendly, beautiful people who know how to praise the Lord. A country with some of the worst health statistics of any nation on earth. A country with lush green forests, beautiful rivers, and a hot and humid climate year-round. A country whose people speak 15 different languages and a version of English that you probably wouldn't understand at first. God is opening a door for a few people from Holden Chapel to make a difference in Liberia. My name is Dr. Rick Sakra, and my family and I served in Liberia as missionaries, supported by the chapel, since 1995. For the last few years, we've been based here in the U.S., but I continue to make trips back and forth for about 3 weeks, twice a year. I've been helping some friends, some brothers and sisters in Christ, to open a new clinic in a small town called Kwesemba, near the border with Guinea. Kwesemba is a little town with a population of about 600 people where they speak the Kisi language. James Korha and his team, with support from ordinary townspeople hauling the sand and molding the blocks, had the structure completed before I even got involved in the project. Just this last November, the clinic was officially licensed to operate, and since then they've been taking care of anywhere from 100 to 1,000 patients every month, people coming from both Liberia and across the river in Guinea to get health care. This past April, when I was in Liberia, as I was walking down the path going to the clinic, it kind of dawned on me that there was a real opportunity here for people to come and make a difference with some skills, bringing some skills and talents to help out. You know, the clinic building, needs to be upgraded. The bathrooms are inadequate. There's no running water. The solar power system is too small and it needs a backup generator. A carpenter is needed to fix some of the doors and windows and improve some of the shelving in the building. Holden Chapel wants to send a small team to Liberia sometime in the next year or so, the date will either be spring, like March, or fall, like October or November. The exact dates will be worked out once the team has been assembled. We need people with skills, like an electrician, a plumber, a carpenter. Would you consider how God might be asking you to get involved? Would you please take a moment to pray and ask God to call those He wants to join us for a 12 or 13 day trip to Liberia to experience a culture far different than our own, to experience fellowship with believers whose faith has been refined by the fire of war and poverty, to serve and make a difference with your skills by both doing some work, but also training a few local young people on some of the basics. Is God asking you to take a step of faith? The trip is long, 3 flights, 30 hours. The roads are terrible. The food might not be exactly what you're used to, but it'll be worth it. You can reach out to me at ricksacramd@outlook.com or at 774-253-4409.
Rick's not going to be at the cafe, but if you write down your question or if you write down his phone number or email, he can participate with you in that. You know, already we've heard from a couple of people who said, like, you might not be comfortable. You know, the food might not be what you're used to, or the travel, or the bathrooms, or whatever. I was thinking about Jonah in that belly of that whale. I'm not sure he was real comfortable either. Better to humble ourselves, I think Pastor Gary said, than to have God humble us, right? So to humble yourself and eat some food that you don't necessarily enjoy, or take a long, long, long trip to get to where you need to go to, is a humbling process, but it's something that we can participate with God in, or He can choose to humble us in other ways, right? So think about that. It came to my mind when I heard him say something very similar that Annette had said. So we have one more now, and Olga has been here now for a couple years. Come on down, Olga. Olga is our missionary in a country far away in Belarus. But she is here now local with us and her family, and she's going to share something that I think all of us could get involved with, or at least many of us here this morning. So, Olga, thank you for sharing.
Good morning, dear Holden Chapel. And first of all, I would like to thank you for being a missionary-oriented church. And I really mean it, because 25 years ago, Holden Chapel sent a missionary team to Russia to work with orphans. And I came from Belarus to join that team. And at that time, I was really sensing God's calling on my life. And shortly after that, I started ministry to orphans in Belarus. And it began with one small hospital and small group of kids. And over the years, it grew into a very large mission. And right now, we work with orphans on a weekly basis in different institutions, shelters, foster families. We started a program for older orphans, graduates, and work with them through family home programs. We expanded into working with special need kids and special needs adults on weekly ministry to them, as well as doing Sunday school in villages near the Ukrainian border. We help with a lot of humanitarian aid. We work with families who are on edge on losing their kids, and we support them through our monthly adoptive family program. We have 27 families like that. And we also do summer camps, winter camps, and provide a lot of things for the Belarusian community. And we do it through weekly ministry as well as through Easter outreach, Christmas outreach, summer camps, and it's really very exciting. As you see my slide, those are the pictures from our most recent trip to Belarus that we made in August. And in one corner, you see myself with the Bible. Everything we do is Bible-oriented. And through all our programs, the goal is to reach people for Jesus. Then you see the backpacks. We physically carried backpacks, and we bought school supplies in Belarus and delivered to 200 or 300 kids. Next slide, you see a group of kids. This is what we did, a summer camp. We actually did three camps during our stay. And again, all the kids, we pray a prayer of salvation, and they gave their life to Jesus. And the last picture, this time God really expanded out our ministry into serving and teaching and preaching to the leadership of the church, as our church has been ruined completely and had to go underground. So we had a chance to serve to the leadership, also preached in several underground churches and prayed for them. And we see how God mighty used us in this way during the last trip. So my needs of the ministry right now for you is a prayer support. I would like to get a group of people who can pray for Spring of Revival and get your emails so we can send you the prayer request, because that's essential for us. So I would like to get a prayer group. The second point is administrative support. I do need 1-2 people who have good administrative skills and can help me with emails or some computer work, maybe once a week, once every other week, but I would use that help. And invite people to Belarus. And again, in 2010, Pastor Tom and a few other people, Aaron, the elder who did the communion today, and his family did come to Belarus to serve with us. And you can talk to them firsthand about their experience. So I'm not going to talk about how difficult it is to get there and food and stuff. I will tell you that if you do go to Belarus, one thing that I want you to be is to be flexible. Because things do change, and if we make a schedule ahead of time, it may not be what we're going to see when we get there. So if you're flexible, everything else we can work out. Yes, so going anytime is good to go to Belarus. Christmas is a larger outreach, or Easter, or summer is a great opportunity to do more work, but there is no certain time period. So if you feel that God wants you to come to Belarus, we would love to have you there. And the second part of my presentation that I'm very excited about is, as outreach to the special needs people in Belarus, we hosted Night to Shine Prom by Tim Tebow 6 times. This is an event where special needs young adults and people come, and we celebrate them. We crown them, we give them our love, and it's the most wonderful night of the year. And today I would like you to see a little video, which is an official video of the last year Night to Shine all around the world. Can we please watch the video?
I hope that you know that tonight is all for you. This is the night where you can shine. Because we believe you shine every day of your life. And when you shine, the love of God shines.
Every heartland, farm town, fence post, son. Every West Coast big break queen. All your high-rise skyline concrete kids. Every zip code in between. Grab your first-time front porch pounding hard and gas up your Chevrolet. 'Cause the sun's half gone and it won't be long till we make our getaway. This is our time. your new church shoes, grab your favorite pair of denim, patched up knees and faded blue. Fold 220s in your pocket, kiss your mama at the door. Take a picture, perfect postcard, and send it out across the world. This is our
always brings tears to my eyes, because this is truly the best night of the year, and not just for the special needs people who get to be loved and crowned and experience the love of Jesus, but also for us. And it's my honor to let you know that Holden Chapel is going to host Night to Shine in February 2026. It's a great privilege for us to host such an event, and we've been working on it, but it's not possible to have it be done without you. So we need a lot of volunteers. We need over 100 people from Holden Chapel to volunteer in order to have this event happen. Are we ready? I want you to think about it, pray about it. Every special need guest will have a volunteer accompany them during the whole event. So we plan to have 75 special needs guests. So we need 75 people who will be their partners during the event. As well as we will need people to volunteer in the kitchen, to help them make hair, in the parking lot, and many other things. And it's exciting. It's really exciting, because that helps us to participate in such an amazing mission-oriented event as a whole church. No one can be left alone. No one can be left behind. You say, I cannot go to Belarus or Malawi, but you surely can come to Holden Chapel one evening and a year and volunteer. And it's going to change your life. After Night Shine happens, I'm never able to go to sleep, because that's how excited I am. And we share all our stories and emotions with the other people of the church. So I invite you to join this wonderful event. There is still a lot of work in preparation, but sometime next week we will open a registration both for volunteers and for special needs guests. So if you know anybody who would love to come to this event, please go to the Holden Chapel webpage and register. And register as a volunteer. You can choose all the options available there, and we'll see where you fit the most. And also invite your friends, family, whoever you know, maybe your neighbor, to such a wonderful event. And thank you so much for giving this opportunity, for trusting and believing. And let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Thank you, Olga. Let's pray. God, thank you for opportunities to serve you and to show your love around the world and right here in our own building, Lord. So we pray that as you work within us as a church, as you bind us together with your mission and with your purpose, Lord, you would show each one of us the place that we can serve best, the way that we can serve you best, the way that we can shine the light of Jesus Christ into a world that desperately needs it. So we thank you for Olga, and we thank you for all the work that she's done in Belarus, but also, Lord, for the work that she's pioneering here, right here in Holden. We thank you for the gifts that you've given her, the experiences that she's already had in leading these things, Lord. Help us to work together for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. So as she said, next week we'll open up registration for that event. So it's not open now. If you go to the website now, you won't see anything about it. But by next week, all of that will be open, and we'll make a announcement about that. Another exciting thing that happened through our school ministry. Yeah, worship team, you can come up because we're going to end with a song. But through our school ministry this week, we packed over 10,000 meals. You might have seen some of them out there in the lobby. Those meals are for refugees all over the world, but particularly these ones I think are going, Josh, did you say Pakistan? Bangladesh. But our students and faculty and their parents came together and worked with Feed the Need so that we can be feeding those who are going through hunger, going through deprivation and difficulty. And we are part of that as well. So we're so grateful that God has given us a purpose, right? We don't want to just be twiddling our thumbs until Jesus comes back. We have a purpose. We have something to do. He's put us together as a body. He's put us together with particular gifts and abilities so that we can serve him. Let's do that for Jesus. Let's glorify him. Everything that we do for him can bring the light of Jesus into dark situations, to people who are sheep without a shepherd. We know the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, has called us together, but he's not done calling people yet. There are sheep out there who need a shepherd. And we are his hands and feet to be able to bring the gospel, to bring the scriptures and the good news and the love of God to the world around us. Amen? Amen.